Praise the Lord and welcome to the house of God. Amen. Okay, we are still in the book of Acts chapter 4. Last week, we finished first 12 verses. Today, we are going to start from verse 13 and we'll read up to 37. It's a long chapter. Okay.
Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you, more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said, "Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Amen. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet.
Amen.
Lord, praise the Lord.
And hearing this holy word.
Okay, now, it's very simple to understand. You remember last week, all the priests, their relatives, and all the higher authorities came on Peter and John. Not only that, they arrested them. They put them in a prison for a day or so. And they might be thinking what we should be doing about these people. Let's read verse 13.
Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus.
Now when they saw these people, the Peter's courage, you remember they said, do not speak about Jesus Christ. But they had a lot of courage and power. That power of what? Power of resurrection. Without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, there is no power. Amen. Without Amen. Jesus, there is no power.
Amen.
But these people were filled with the power of God, and their enemies noticed that these people have boldness to preach the word of God.
Amen.
You know, people can have a master's degree or PhD in English, but all of them not speakers. All of them cannot speak boldly because it needs the power of God.
Amen.
It needs the wisdom of God. And these people had the boldness, and not only that, these people say with this Peter and John, they noticed because they know these people. They were fishermen. Fishermen in those days, they were not highly educated. So they're saying these people are unlearned, uneducated, and these people do not have any trade, didn't learn anything. But one thing we notice, these people have the knowledge of God, these people have the power of God, these people have the, what you call, boldness of God. And one thing they notice, why these people have these things? Because they are with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you live with Jesus, you will have wisdom and power and knowledge and everything what you need.
Amen.
You do not have to have a PhD to be a minister. What do you need? You need a salvation of God.
Amen.
If you are born again child of God, God will use you anywhere.
Amen.
Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and start reading from verse 26. To 31. God sees your heart, not your education.
For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But above him are ye Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and
righteousness,
and sanctification and redemption.
Wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification. God gives you wisdom. Okay, now finish, please.
According as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so what he's trying to say? God has chosen the weak ones. God has chosen us which do not have the wisdom of the world. The world is very wise, but they are not holy.
Amen.
Jesus Christ says, you can be holy as a dove and smart as a serpent. The world has a lot of wisdom, but not godliness. But God has chosen us because we are godly, because we are children of God. And that's what the word of God is saying. When they saw Peter and John, chosen by God, following Jesus Christ, they saw the wisdom and power and boldness in these people. So the word of God says, when you are chosen by God, don't be bragging that you are somebody.
Amen.
If somebody says, God has chosen me because I was smart and I was so healthy and I was so educated and highly educated, that's why God has chosen me, that is wrong. The word of God says, even the salvation God has given to us. And the word of God says nobody should be boasting about salvation. Salvation is what? The gift of God. God has given us everything freely. There is nothing to be boast. But what happens? Sometimes people forget. about the poverty. They forget about the poor people. They forget about the other people, and they think they are the smartest people in the world.
Amen.
Go to the book of Jeremiah and chapter 9 and start reading verse 23 and 24. The word of God is saying, when you have God-given wisdom and grace and the power, you should not be boasting about anything. Everything comes from above. The word of God says all good gifts comes from above.
Amen.
There is nothing we have we can boast. Go ahead.
Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord.
Amen. So the Lord is the one who gives you, and he is the one who supplies all our needs.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, what it says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We have nothing to boast, nothing to brag about, nothing to say I'm the smartest and I'm the richest. The riches of this world has wings. They will fly away. The word of God says we did not bring anything and we cannot take anything out of this world. Whatever God has given to us for his glory. No one can say this is mine. Only little children say this is my toy, this is mine, this is mine. But now we are grown up. We have the Spirit of God. We learn that these children of God, when the God called them, they had only one thing in common: love the Lord, follow the Lord, and love the children of God. And that's what they were doing. And people notice, and you will see the man who got healed, he was also, you know, when he got healed, he could have got somewhere looking for a job or something. He was still sticking around with these people. Let's read verse 14 onwards. Acts chapter 4, verse 14.
And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it.
Keep on reading.
But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye.
Amen. Now see what happened. They saw this man still standing near the Peter and John. So the man was not healed for one day. He was healed. Completely healing.
Amen.
And some people sometimes they get healed and overnight they get back their sickness. And some people say, why this happened? Many people go for a convention, a special meeting and healing services. And people get healed when they go home. They feel worse than before. And say, what happened? The enemy is a liar. Enemy will always tell you, you are not healed. Jesus is not a healer. It's nothing happened. Everything is fake. And you believe that and you will have more problems. We have to believe that man has no power to heal. Jesus is the healer.
Amen.
Hold on to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Once you are healed, then you know you should turn your life to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Once you are saved, you turn your life to Jesus Christ. I see many people. They get saved and they go back to the worldly thing. Other day we went to one place. The man has bought one place and it's a pretty good small place. There are several rooms and everything. And they have ladies and men living together. So we first time we went there to see what's going on. And when I saw the person comes and I was talking to somebody, gives a cigarette to everybody and everybody got the cigarette. And one lady opened the Bible and reading the book of Acts. I said, what chapter are you reading? She said, I'm reading 28th chapter. And she was taking notes. I thought she might be very hungry for the word of God. So I asked her, are you saved? Yes. I said, what that cigarette lighter doing beside you? Is this yours or somebody else's? Oh, I do smoke. And then I talked to another man. He says, well, I do smoke. I got saved 1.5 years ago, and I still smoke. And I believe Jesus Christ is coming, and he will take me home someday. So what I'm trying to say, somebody told him, you are born again. They gave their heart to the Lord. Never told them, your body is the temple of the living God.
Amen. Amen.
If you invite Jesus Christ into your heart, when Jesus Christ comes in, the other things should go out.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus and devil cannot stay together. Amen. They are not friends.
Amen.
Jesus Christ says, when you invite me, I will bring my Father to dwell in.
Yes.
Father and Son cannot dwell with the demons.
Amen.
So when Jesus comes in, the other things should go out. But those people are foolishly believed that we are born again. There was a leader there, and I said to that leader, let's read the word of God. Gave him the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It took at least 5 to 7 minutes for that man to even look for the scripture. He could not find the scripture, and he is the director of that place. And when he found the place, he read it, and he says, that's true. What is that? What that word says? Please put it there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
So this word, I gave it to him, and I said, what this word says? If you are in Christ Jesus, you are what? New creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things became new. That means once you receive Jesus Christ, all things has to go.
Yes.
And it will go. But if somebody doesn't tell you, you say, okay, your drugs are gone, but cigarette is okay. If somebody tells you that, and then they are making mistake, and you receive their wrong teaching, and you get into problem. Jesus Christ is a holy God.
Amen.
No unholy things will he allow you to keep it. We are children of God. So here the word of God is saying, these people are children of God, born again children of God. I'm talking about Peter and John. And when this man, the lame man, got healed, he got completely healed. I don't know, he had some bad habit. I don't know. But when you see this man standing with Peter and John, even though one day they were arrested, I don't know, he went home and came back, or he was also arrested with them, it's not given. But we say next day that he's standing with Peter and John. And when those people saw this lame man got healed, 40 years he was lame like that, and now he's healed, they had no excuse. They could not find any fault. But just think, that man overnight went home and got sick again. No witness. Peter and John would not have witness. This man was healed. He did not go anywhere. He stood there and he was completely healed. So those people could not find any fault to accuse these people. They start saying, what should we do now? So they said, okay, Peter, John, and you stay away. Let us have some kind of conference. And they stayed inside and said, what should we do now? Because this noticeable miracle has happened. And all the Jerusalem came to know. In those days, no telephone, no TV, no radio. How the whole Jerusalem came to know. Because you remember, 5,000 people got saved when Peter was talking. All of those people, when they went home, they publicized. They told everybody, do you know that one lame man sitting at the beautiful gate is completely healed? Go and see. And those, all these Sadducees and all these priests harassing them. So this news are gone everywhere. They said, what should we do now? They said, we got an idea. What we're going to do, we are going to threaten them. We're going to harass them. We are going to tell them, listen, whatever you did up to now, that's okay. But now, no more preaching about Jesus, no more teaching about Jesus, no more telling about anybody about Jesus Christ, and we will let you go. That's what their idea was. Let's read the verse 19. Acts 4:19.
But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye.
Amen. Now he says, Peter and John, they did not talk to them one by one. All of a sudden, both of them said the same thing. What does that mean? Both of them thinking the same thing. Amen. Both of them, they were in the same spirit. Yes. So they got a boldness, and together they said, hey, you are telling us not to speak about this name. You think we should listen to you more or God more? You judge and tell us. They could not say listen to us and don't listen to God. So what happened? Peter and John has the wisdom of God, the power of God, the knowledge of God to shut the mouth of these people.
Amen.
Tell us what we're supposed to do. We listen to you or we listen to God. They had nothing to say. So let's read the verse 20.
We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.
What they're trying to say. We cannot stop what we're doing. Nobody taught us to say something. You know, sometimes you give somebody money to say something, a good witness or bad witness, whatever. So we say, what we say, money talks.
Amen.
When you give somebody money and they talk behalf of you, most of the things, the lawyers. Lawyers, they talk because money. Money talks. If you give somebody money, then money will talk. So these people are saying, we are not hired by somebody to do this. Some of the people are hired ministers. They hired by some denomination. So if that denomination give them good salary, they stay. Otherwise, if some other denomination give them higher salary, they quit this denomination and go to another denomination. And they join. Doesn't matter this denomination, they are same or different. Why? Because of money. I have seen many ministers, they're going one denomination to another denomination asking more money. Peter and John said, listen, we lived with Jesus. We saw the miracle with our own eyes. We heard everything what Jesus Christ taught us. So you cannot stop us. We are the living witnesses of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Verse 21.
So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which was done.
Amen. Now what he's trying to say, he said they already threatened them. Now he says further they threatened them again and say, listen, don't talk about these things. Otherwise, you know, we will do some harm to you. They are not afraid of anybody. Because 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, what it says? God has not given us what?
The spirit of fear,
but he has given us a power, love, and sound mind.
Amen.
If you are belong to God, you are not going to be afraid of anybody.
Amen.
When I was going to come from New York to Philadelphia, the people are start saying, don't go to Philadelphia. This was the first time we came from India. Don't go to Philadelphia. So what? 80% people are black. And those people are bad people. And what are you going to do? I says, well, if that's the way it is, I am going there to preach the gospel. I was not afraid. I go to any neighborhood, black people's neighborhood, Spanish neighborhood, Indian neighborhood, Pakistani neighborhood, any neighborhood. Why? Because God has called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. We are not looking at somebody's face and preaching the gospel. We are called by God. So they were not afraid of their threatening. And the word of God says in the last portion of this, for all men glorify God that which was done. All people who are standing there, they were glorifying God and thanking God. Okay, let's read verse 22 onwards.
For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is.
Amen. Now see what happens. These people say, get out of here. So they say, let's go home. Where did they go? They came to all the apostles and all the teachers, all the believers, and came to them and said, this is what happened. And they start testifying. What they testifying? They were saying, no Sadducees, no Pharisees, no priest, no high priest, nobody had the power to arrest us or destroy us. And God gave us freedom. And let's pray. So first thing that said, let's thank God what God has done. And all the people gathered together to praise God. And what they realized, if you read the verse 24, he says they realized that God, Jesus Christ, is not an ordinary man. They said this Jesus Christ is the creator of heaven and earth. Can you imagine? Up to now, some of them thought he is a prophet. Some of them thought he might be Messiah. But now they are saying, let's read that verse one more time. Verse 24.
And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is.
Amen. So now they realize Jesus Christ is God. He is the creator. Jesus Christ never said to them, I created heavens and earth. When he was with them, did anywhere Jesus say?
No.
He did not say, I am the one creator of all the universe. And I am the God and nobody else. Just listen to me. He didn't say anything like that. But where these people got wisdom, when they received the Holy Spirit started revealing the works of God. Go to the St. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. John writes it. One of the disciples who was here witnessing to those people.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made.
What John is saying, Jesus Christ is God. He is the creator, and everything which we see is created by Jesus Christ. Jesus never said that, but John came to know. See what Paul says. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Start reading from verse 15. You can read the whole chapter, we don't have time.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him are all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Okay, now Paul is saying he is before all things and he has created everything. Not only created, but he is holding everything with his power.
Amen.
That's God. So God is almighty.
Yes.
Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you, Jesus Christ, a God. He is not the God. We believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That means we believe in triune God.
Amen.
What God the Father does, the God the Son is able to do. What the God the Son does, God the Holy Spirit does. And so God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is triune God. And here the Word of God is saying, all things were created by Him and for Him. Not only that, He holds everything.
Amen.
And somebody says, but I don't believe in Trinity. I don't believe in God and the Son. Go to the Hebrews chapter 1 and see what the Father says about His own Son. That also revelation given to Paul. And somebody doesn't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. If the Paul didn't write it, maybe somebody got the revelation who was with Jesus. Okay, go ahead. Hebrews chapter 1, start verse 1 to 3. Please read.
God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, after these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high.
Amen. Now see, the Word of God says Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and the God Himself says He created all the worlds and everything in it.
Amen.
Because God the Father and God the Son together, they were creating the heavens and earth and everything in it. Let's go to the verse 8 and what He says about His Son.
But unto the Son, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom.
Amen. Now, does it Father says about His Son? Yes. So we know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is triune one God.
Amen.
And now the Peter and John came to know and start saying, now we know we worship the living God who has created the heavens and earth and everything in it. And they start praising God and glorifying God. Let's go and read verse 25. Acts 4:25 and 26.
Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ.
Now this Peter is saying, David prophesied. Go to the Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Exactly, he's quoting from the book of Psalm.
Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed.
Okay, now what he's trying to say, God inspired David to prophesy about the heathen rage, means heathen people will go against Jesus Christ and they will talk against Him, they will arrest Him, they will punish Him, and all of these things they will do. Why this happened? And then Peter just start thinking, now we can see with our own eyes. These are the heathen people arrested Him. These are the people persecuted Him. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. He's alive. Now He went to heaven. But these people did this to Jesus Christ. Now it came to their mind, this was God's doing. God allowed this to happen. That's what they are saying. Up to now they were puzzled. Why this is happening? Let's read the verse 27.
For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together.
27:8.
For to do whatsoever they had, thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done.
Amen. So what he's trying to say, Jesus Christ is the Holy Child, Holy One of Israel. When you read it in a psalm, it says anointed one. But when you read it in the New Testament, it is Christ. Anointed one is Jesus Christ. He suffered for us and he died for the mankind. That's Christ. And so now he says, now we know this Holy Child is anointed by God, but the Herod and Pontius Pilate and all these Gentiles people went against him, crucified him. But he says, now I know why this happened, because this was counseled by God, predetermined before this thing happened. That means before Jesus Christ came into this world, there was a committee meeting. The Holy Spirit, Father, Son, united. The man is fallen. Who will go and redeem the mankind? Jesus says, I will go.
Amen.
In the word of God says, Father, send him. But in other words, he said, I give my life myself. And I have power to take it back. In another words, if you read, it says, God raised him up. So people say, why this is complicated things? But this is all unitedly done.
Amen.
He says, they are counseled before God, then determined by God what we are going to do. And Jesus Christ came willingly to die for you and for me. Nobody forced him to die. He says, what? Not my will, but your will be done. But at the same time, people get confused on that. Because Jesus Christ came to die for the mankind. You remember Peter starts saying, we should not go to Jerusalem because they are going to crucify you. And what Jesus said, get behind me, Satan.
Amen.
Your mind is on worldly things. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross of Calvary. But you know what happened? He was in Gethsemane. When he said on Gethsemane, he was praying. And what's happening? He was starting sweating the blood. Instead of sweat, he was sweating the blood. When somebody starts sweating the blood, that person will instantly be dead. Because when you lose the blood, you die. So Jesus Christ prayed this prayer in the Gethsemane. Lord, take this cup away from me. What? This suffering I'm doing in this Gethsemane and this blood flowing from my body. I want to go to cross. Could you save my life here? Let not devil kill me in the Gethsemane. So he prayed with a loud voice and he prayed with a crying, loud crying. Go to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 5, verse 7. Please read.
And when the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared.
See what he's trying to say? He cried with the tears, he cried with a loud voice, and God heard his prayer and saved him from death. People don't see these things. And they will preach to you. They will say, he said, Lord, take this cup away. I don't want to go to cross. And he prayed 3 times. He didn't want to go to cross. The word of God says God saved him from the death. That means devil wanted to kill him in the Gethsemane. When he was bleeding to death, he said, Lord, save me from this. I want to go to cross. I want to die on the cross. I want to take the sins of these people. I want to give my life freely. He was not afraid to die. What did he say? Spirit is willing. The body is weak. And that body was weak. And now that weak body start bleeding. He would have been dead. And I have heard so many medical reports. When somebody has this kind of bleeding from their body, they die. Jesus Christ did not die with that bleeding. And plus, he picked up the cross and how much bleeding he had. And he walked falling and falling. And when he was crucified on the cross, how much beating he took before and after and bled. But he did not die with their hands. What did he do? He said, Father, I give my spirit in your hands. And he died willingly. So he said he had the power to lay down his life, and he has power to take it back. Nobody killed Jesus. That's why he's saying, Acts chapter 4, verse 28. Now come back, and you know what this verse is all about.
For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done.
Right. You had it, everything in your hand. And you allowed this thing to happen. Now we are not blaming anybody. This was your plan. That's what he's trying to say. Jesus Christ was not murdered by somebody. He gave his life for you and for me. Okay, let's read verse 29 onwards.
And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus.
Amen. Now what is their prayer? They came and said, listen, God gave us victory. Now we know Jesus Christ is gone. This is was all the will of God. And we are his witnesses. Let's pray to God. What was their prayer? God, give us more power. Power to what? Power to witness. And we need boldness. We need courage. And what we want to do? We want to heal the people and deliver the people from their sickness and disease. And that's what their prayer was. And I want to be like Jesus. What Jesus Christ did, I want to do the same. Because Jesus Christ said, I'm going to go to my Father. Whatever the miracle I did, you will do, and you will do greater. So they wanted this to happen to them. So they were praying. And see what happened. Let's read further. Verse 31.
And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness.
Amen. Now see what happened here. These people, when they prayed with the one mind and one accord. How? Just like in the upper room. They were praying. And the word of God says the building, whatever the building they were sitting, the building was shaking. The place was shaken. And they were filled. This is what? Refilling. Refilled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And start speaking the word of God.
Amen.
With the power and boldness. That's what they asked, right? Said, Lord, give us the holy boldness. Give us your power and give us your wisdom. Instantly as they prayed, their prayer was answered. Right?
Yes.
So what we need the power of God and the holy boldness to preach the word of God and let the people get healed, delivered, and set free. Signs, wonders, and miracles should be happening in the name of Jesus. People are not preaching the full gospel. People do not know what the full gospel is. Full gospel is simply this: preaching the teaching of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't take anything out. When God has given us this power to show the whole world with the signs and wonders and miracles, the people who are opposing the speaking in tongue, in that church, no healing happens, no miracles happens, nothing happening in that church, because they are suppressing the power of God. So here the word of God is saying, God has given them holy boldness and refilled them with the Holy Spirit, and all over again, they start speaking in tongue. Okay, let's read verse 32.
And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of these things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all.
Amen. Now what is saying? The people start multiplying. Not one or two. First time we saw 3,000. Second time we saw 5,000. Now the people are multiplying. There's no numbers. Why? Because these people made up their mind. I'm not going to be afraid of anybody. I'm going to fill with the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
I'm going to speak to
glorious.
God. I'm going to have the power of God.
Yes.
And I'm going to preach
the
glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And the word of God says, with a great power, God gave it to them. And what? They witness about the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. And what? Great grace was upon them all.
Amen.
Amen.
What happened? God's grace multiply.
Amen.
We got saved by grace. We got Holy Spirit by grace. We got all the gifts by grace. Once you depend on the grace of God, the grace of God is going to what? Multiply. In everything what you do, do it by what? The grace of God.
Amen.
We do not have any our own power. We have the power of God.
Amen.
And that's why they are saying, these people, we are showing the power of God and the whole world. If you read a little bit further, we'll say St. Paul said, the whole world was what? Upside down. No television, no radio, no satellite, but they made the world upside down with the power of God. Okay, verse 34 onwards.
Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet.
Amen. Now see, nobody forced them to do this. Nobody told them you have to sell your house, sell your property, and bring money to the church. Nobody told them. But the people who, they were sold out to God. Some of the people had the calling to serve the Lord. The name is given like Barnabas. This man became an apostle. He gave up everything and followed the Lord. And so many people start thinking, if the Barnabas doing it, I'm going to do it. If somebody wants to sell their property and give it to the Lord, that's fine. But you cannot force them to do it. But here we see, these people did not have any lacking. Everybody has their need met. They had clothes, they have food, they have everything. Now see, this thing people take and say, you know, Jesus Christ was communist. Because communism, you know what communism is? Everybody's equal. You cannot have $10,000 in the bank, give that $10,000 and give it to everybody. Everybody has to be equal. That communism. But Jesus was not communist. Okay? Here, those people who want to serve the Lord, they want to give everything. He did not say every believer has to do these things. It's not a law like that. But we will learn that in the next chapter. But what I'm trying to say, if you are sold out to God, you give your heart, your money, your talent, and your everything. Not by force, but by love. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. Peter and John recognize that Jesus Christ is the creator of heaven and earth. They realize that Jesus Christ is the Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus, for giving them revelation. We believe that God is our source of all our supplies. We come to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ supplies all our needs. Lord Jesus, give grace to each and every believer to understand Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He provided healing for our body. He provided salvation for our soul. And He provided all the needs for our daily living. You are all-sufficient God.
Yes.
We cannot be bragging about our wisdom, our money, our strength. Everything comes from God. Give us grace to live for You and for Your glory. We commit ourselves into Your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.